At its most basic, Daniel Mason's new novel, The Winter Soldiers, powerfully vivid historical fiction about a privileged 22-year-old scion of a Viennese family, a barely trained medical student deployed to the front during World War I to tend the wounded in a dismal field station in the Carpathian Mountains. But that's only a fraction of this glorious novel from the author of The Piano Tuner. Yes, it takes readers from Imperial Vienna to the frozen front into the horrors of war, maggot-infested wounds, starvation. It's also about the nascent field of medicine, about the psychiatric toll of war on soldiers, what we now understand as PTSD. Daniel Mason is a physician, and it shows. And it's a romance with shades of Dr. Zhivago and a moment in history when people could be separated in an instant with little hope of ever finding each other again. Daniel Mason joins us from KQED in San Francisco. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be on the show.
Well, how did you come to this story, this time in history?
It began as a very different novel. I'm a psychiatrist and I was very interested in this period of psychiatric history in the 1920s and was writing about a psychiatrist at that time. And I thought that this character, of course, needed a backstory and that most doctors at that time would have a backstory that involved the First World War. And so I began to read about the medical experience in the First World War. And as I was reading about it, I began to encounter this anecdote of how the Austro-Hungarian army was so illy prepared that they began to recruit medical students, sometimes dentists, sometimes veterinarians, to serve very important roles in field hospitals on the front, tending to massive numbers of men. And this was at a time when I had recently finished medical school. And all of a sudden, to imagine this colleague across time, 100 years ago, leaving his medical training and being asked to perform medical responsibilities that he was so unprepared for were something that resonated with me and the place I was in at that time.
Well, I mean, he's issued an Army-issued medical manual that offers advice on building latrines, soothing blisters with whale oil, and providing moral instruction for the soldier who misses the comforts of his wife. And what happens when he gets there is he hears about wounds that might be teeming with maggots, just horrifying. In churning clumps, they teemed, they stirred like embers. These are lice as well. On every layer of clothing and every stitch and seam, they came out upon our combs, grainy like wet meal. I mean, just disgusting because of these wet, you know, these moist dressings. And amputations, which, you know, he had no idea how to do. And enter this nun who teaches him all of this. Where did you find her?
So originally, I hadn't imagined her having the role that she eventually had in the story. I had thought that Lucius would arrive at a hospital, and of course, there'd be some medical staff there, and there'd be a nurse who would provide a background role. But much like Lucius, I found when I encountered her, she ended up taking over the story, and she has this very forceful voice in the book, and I realized eventually that she was going to be the central figure in the book.
So something from your imagination, not from history. And here's a scene where she's first dealing with Lucius, who again has arrived at this place. He doesn't know what he's doing. And she says, "Wash your hands, come with me. Now we operate. We'll start with the head wounds, then amputate this foot, this leg, this elbow, that forearm, that arm over there we can let be. And this soldier," Lucius asks, "smelling like that," she says, "he'll be dead by morning. Don't worry, you didn't do it. We keep him warm. If he wakes up, we tell him he's home. If he calls you his father, you call him son." You know, right there, just a snapshot of who she is. And the Washington Post writes, "She's your most irresistible creation. Actresses all over Hollywood should be jockeying to play her part in the inevitable movie adaptation." Were you thinking cinematically? Because it is, I felt as if I was seeing a film as well as reading a story.
I don't think I was thinking explicitly cinematically. I think that I'm very drawn to visual images. The time period offers up some extraordinary physical settings. Because this takes place on the Eastern Front, it's different than the World War I that I had always grown up imagining in the trenches and the muddy fields of Belgium. This is different. These are these large landscapes across which there's this encounter not only with these modern military armies, but also very traditional ones, soldiers on horseback carrying lances. And this is part of what drew me into the story, these very rich visual images from the time.
Yeah. Well, Lucius, in fact, at one point is lost in the woods, and then he's in the middle of a battle on the front. It's kind of insane making. Did you see accounts like that?
A lot of the accounts that I read, and I'd say many, if not most, of the accounts of the war are accounts of battle. And in that moment when Lucius stumbles into this classic Russian Cossack advance and a group of Hungarian hussars, he realizes that despite the fact that at that point he's been on the front for almost 2 years, he hasn't really seen war itself. And the rest of the book really looks at this other aspect of war, what's happening on the home front, what's happening in the hospitals, what's happening to people after the fighting is over.
What's happening to their minds? As we know, it was the beginning of people starting to understand that there was this psychiatric torment. They called it nervous shock.
Sure. So as a psychiatrist, I've been aware that one of the signal injuries of World War I is shell shock. And yet at the time, it was this great mystery to doctors, men beginning to come down with wounds that couldn't be seen. Is this some new kind of virus? Is this a reaction to this new kind of artillery and particularly potent explosive that's being used in the war? That was an initial thought, that there was something about the high explosive that was used during the war that was actually sending microscopic particles through the skull, through the skin, into the brain and causing an injury to the brain. But efforts were made to try to understand what was causing this new disease, and then, most acutely, how to cure it.
And here's where we see Lucius, our doctor, mature, because he is viewing this as a problem to be solved. Margaret, the nun, is viewing this as a human being who's suffering. Is this something, because you've said you relate a lot to Lucius, is this something that a transition you went through as a doctor?
It is. I imagine it's a transition that many doctors go through, in that when medical training begins, most of us have very little experience of illness. In my own medical training, I found that the transition over from the preclinical years into the third year when you begin to go in the wards and meet people is a very disorienting one, because for the first time, you're encountering the disease that you've learned about in people who are suffering, and they don't obey the same rules that you've learned about in the first 2 years. It's much more complicated. And beyond the impact of the disease on the organ, there's even more importantly the impact of the disease on the person. And then beyond that, in the impact of them and on their family and those people who care for them. And that increasing realization of the many ripples that result from illness is something that Lucius goes through.
We just want to touch on some of the absurdist notions. There was the doddering old professor in Vienna who steals an alleged mermaid from a museum because he wants to x-ray it to see what it is. Enter a young scientist, a female scientist by the name of Marie Curie, who helps him with that. There's a staffer at the field hospital who was told he had manly hands. And because he thinks they're special, he doesn't want to wash them with this caustic soap. So he gets dysentery and dies, is replaced by another soldier with the same name. There's an absurdity to war.
Right. And probably to every conflict, but particularly to this conflict, Austro-Hungarian bureaucracy was so extensive and so entrenched and so slow in reacting to the realities of the battle on the ground that the soldiers within it would often come up against these absurd situations, which were horrifying often, but at the same time could, with the kind of gallows humor that one encountered on the front, be approached in some ways with some kind of humor.
Well, there's also a whiff of Dr. Zhivago for us, and we are not going to give away your incredible ending. Knocked me over when I got to it. But there's a moment where Lucius is chasing Margareta, someone he thinks is Margareta, through crowds. He can't find her. Of course, Dr. Zhivago, he chases a woman as well. But again, without giving away the ending or any of the plot, I don't want to spoil it for people, but just talk about that sense that people could get separated in war and there's no social media and you may never see someone again.
Right. There's this massive amount of movement of people. So not only the soldiers who are moving out towards the front in millions, but civilians who are fleeing the front. And the civilians then, when they arrive in the cities, trying to settle, trying to find a place, trying to build some sort of life as they're wondering whether or not they're going to be able to go back. And the soldiers fighting, ending up in prisoner of war camps, or eventually returning at times, especially towards the end of the war, in such numbers that they'd have to pile up on top of the trains. Mm. The trains would tip over, soldiers would be knocked off in tunnels. And my concern as a novelist is the individual person in all of that. And so what happens when one person on the corner of that photograph of millions is in love with a person on the opposite corner of that photograph? And how do they find their way through those masses to each other?
That's Daniel Mason. His book is The Winter Soldier. Reviewers are throwing words like glorious at it. He's also a clinical assistant professor of psychiatry at Stanford University. Daniel, thank you so much for talking to us about this terrific new book. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on the show.